Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all done with no manipulation. Of course, that means we don't have hidden agendas here. We're not trying to con anybody, not trying to coerce you into doing anything. We just simply want to give you some accurate information. Information that we pray will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy as a free American to orient and adjust to the plan. God always gives you freedom. He doesn't make you a little automaton. He gives you volition. He gives you free will, the ability to choose. And you can choose. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. All I can say is in my life, I have found out that bad decisions limit future options. Good decisions open the door to many options, but bad decisions limit future options. And so as I give you this information, consider carefully what we say. I gave a radio show last week and talked about America and what's going on, the danger that we face. I went into the Old Testament and showed how God worked in the nation Israel when he applied discipline on them for their disobedience. I told you that God is immutable. He never changes. And so the same principles that applied in the Old Testament apply to us. The books are not written to us, but the principles are there. We learn from that. And you say, I don't agree. Well, then don't agree with the Ten Commandments. That's an Old Testament principle. The principles are there. And so we must learn from the Old Testament, just like we learn from the New Testament, the principles and the promises and the procedures that are there for the living of the Christian life. Now, there's another Old Testament passage I want to take you into today, and I want to relate it to America and what's going on in America in the year 2013. I believe we're at the crossroads of history. I believe we're in some of the most unstable times in the history of this nation. There are so many conspiracy theories. There's so much doubt. America is fractured. So many people don't trust the administration. And we have a tremendous problem going on in this country today. Everything that has been right for years is now wrong. And everything that has been wrong for years is now promoted as being right and correct, politically correct. And so in America today, we just have to be very careful about anything we say because we may offend a small minority of the population. And God forbid that you should offend anyone today in America, correct? I don't know how our Lord Jesus Christ would have walked the streets of this country and given some of the messages that he gave to the scribes and the Pharisees, calling them vipers and dead men. And I mean, gee whiz, you say those things today, you're in big trouble. Hate crimes, they would call it. And it's coming to that. Eventually, pastors will be subjected to hate crimes as they teach certain portions of the Bible. It's coming to that eventually. I pray it doesn't, but if it continues to go the way that it's going, America is in for a rude awakening. I want to take you to the book of Hosea, and I want to show you a charge that God gave against Israel through the prophet Hosea, and because of this, the discipline that they endured. Here it is, Hosea 4:1. Again, the principle is the same today as it was then. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Now listen, this may sound like America to you. There is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will suffer. And anyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with a priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, and the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. Listen to what I'm about to read next. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will also forget your children. This is something that Israel experienced as they went under divine discipline, as they were dispersed out of the land and taken captive, first through the Chaldean captivity and second in the southern kingdom through the Babylonian captivity, and eventually brought back to the land under Nehemiah and Ezra, and eventually dispersed again under Titus and the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. There are certain principles here. Number one, God has blessed a nation. God has given the nation that land. God has prospered that nation, and that nation turned its back on God. The first indication of that is there's no truth or mercy in the land. No knowledge of God in the land. Only swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. Breaking all the laws, bloodshed upon bloodshed. Now, I could go into all sorts of documentation about this and show you where all of this is happening in America. But the verse that I want to center on is verse 6, because this is where the condemnation is given. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget your children. Well, first of all, we don't want God to forget our children nor our grandchildren. We want them to live in the same freedom and the same prosperity that we've had. So is it possible that our children and our grandchildren could be rejected by God? Is it possible that this nation, this great nation called America, the United States of America, is it possible that we could go under such discipline that we would go down in history as the biggest bunch of suckers that ever lived? I think so. And it all starts with rejecting knowledge. Rejecting knowledge of the Word of God. Now, I want to go to the New Testament and give you two words for knowledge. In the New Testament, we have the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, which is translated knowledge. We have another word called epinosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, and epi is a preposition meaning full. So one word is knowledge and the other word is full knowledge. Both of these words are translated in the English as knowledge. So what's the difference in these two things? The difference is something that you know and something that you experience. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, and that's right. Just because you know Scripture, because you've read the Bible, I've talked to people, they say, well, I've read the Bible four times in my lifetime. That means nothing. That is not growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you think you're spiritual because you've read the Bible, you don't understand what the Bible says when it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. First of all, you don't understand the difference between the Greek and the Hebrew, and you don't understand the translation problems. If you get that straight, if you get under a qualified pastor that can teach you the Bible from the original languages, then you will see. Just because you've read through it, it's not a novel, it's a textbook. If it weren't so, God would not have given men the gift of pastor teacher. That gift is a spiritual gift given by God to certain male members of the human race. And their objective is to study and teach the Word of God to you. As a believer, you must get under a qualified pastor. You must find the shepherd that will shepherd your soul. You must feed at this shepherd as he brings the food to you. This is spiritual food that makes you grow. As Jeremiah said, I ate the Word of God. I fed on the Word of God. And this is the way we feed. But if we have no desire for knowledge, no desire to grow, my people are destroyed, Hosea 4:6, for lack of knowledge. If there's ever been anything true of a Christianity in America today, it's lack of knowledge. There's so much emotionalism in worship. There's so many distractions in worship. People are not learning anything. Traditional churches that I've been in and traditional churches that I visited on a Sunday morning, that pastor may be able to give you 15 minutes of a Bible sermon, maybe, if he studied. Most of it is taken up with traditional song services, traditional announcements, traditional this, traditional that. So the pastor has no time to teach. And in the churches where I've been and been given the privilege to speak, it's the most frustrating thing in the world to sit there on the platform and wait on some song leader to shut up and quit so I could get up and speak. Because he's so jealous of singing those songs. Five songs of this and three songs of that, and let's sing that song again. And I'm like, come on, man, stop. Nobody grows when they sing. They grow when they listen to the teaching of the Word of God. See, God gave you two ends, and success in life depends on which one of those you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. So Ephesians 5:17 gives these words: do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. Don't be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. What is it? I can tell you. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. See, a lot of people go to church and they sit there glazed and dazed. Some of them are really actually born-again children of God. And some are simply using the proximity defense. You know, I was in the area where the church was. You know, these are the people the Lord said, I will tell them I never knew you. Yeah, you went there, and yeah, you were part of it, but you never believed it. You never applied it into your life. Proximity defense doesn't work. You don't audit the Christian life. Either you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or you're not. So if there's no reality, if it's just ritual without reality, then it's not the Christian life. It's not a relationship. The Christian life is a bona fide, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ living in you. That's the first thing you have to learn, is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's an amazing thing for you to learn. But it's, you know, so many people think that worship is being spiritual. So they go to church to worship, sing, and praise God. They seek to give God glory by attending a, quote, worship service. Psalm 50, verse 23, whosoever offereth praise glorifies me. And praising God in a song service, that's great, that's fine. But it's not how you grow. It's a difference. And you can sit there and praise God for an hour, but that's not growth. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to be able to learn something. And this is what the Bible says. My people are destroyed because they didn't learn anything. A lack of knowledge. You rejected knowledge. You didn't want the knowledge. You wanted the praise service. You wanted the worship service. You didn't want to be bored with the exegesis of the scripture. You didn't want to have to go home and go over your notes. You didn't want to take notes. You just sat there and daydreamed till it was all over and headed out for the restaurant. Nobody ever grows spiritually by singing praise songs about God. We are mandated to grow up spiritually. That's the only thing that will deliver this nation, is your spiritual life. If you grow up spiritually, if you grow to be a mature believer, then you will qualify to be a part of the pivot. And the pivot is the core group of mature believers that God will use to deliver this nation. Just like God used Gideon and his mighty 300 to defeat the Midianite army, thousands, God can use you. but not unless you're qualified, not unless you understand what you're doing. And so when the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, where does this ashamed come in? Where does this ashamed come in? I tell you where it comes in, at the judgment seat of Christ. When you stand before Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 3, and you are judged, remember there is going to be a judgment seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne. This is the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 16. And there's going to be a big fire. And the Bible says there's going to be a lot of wood, a lot of hay, and a lot of stubble, and a lot of gold, silver, and precious stones. What's the difference? The wood, hay, and stubble is all those right things you did in the wrong way. All of that worship, that was fine. But when you went out and you tried to live the Christian life, not understanding how to execute the Christian life, not understanding the protocol plan of God, then all you did was manufacture wood, hay, and stubble. Yes, you prayed, but your prayers weren't answered because you did a right thing in the wrong way. Yes, you went to church, but you never learned anything because you did the right thing in the wrong way. Yes, you gave money, but you gave it in the wrong way. Protocol plan of God says the right thing has to be done in the right way. So that's all wood, hay, and stubble, and that's all burned up. And the gold, silver, and precious stones, those are the right things done in the right way. Those are the things you're rewarded for. Being ashamed is going to take place right there when you see all the production that you thought you had burned up. And you will find out you did all the right things, but you did them in all the wrong way. Oh, you felt good about it. You thought you were a great Christian. You tithed, you sang, you served. Right thing, wrong way. You never learned the protocol plan of God. You never learned how the spiritual life functions. That's why this verse is so imperative. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest for me. America is a priest nation today. We represent our God across the world. We send missionaries to foreign nations. We teach and preserve the Word of God. We are a haven for the Jew in this country. We are a priest nation, and we're losing that priest nation status. As goes the pivot, so goes the history of America. And it doesn't take a genius to look at political, economic, social, and spiritual values and see they're all in a decline. America's in trouble. And the reason is because Christians, believers, haven't learned anything. They haven't learned. They have no desire to grow, no desire for knowledge. If the Bible says I'm to study the Scriptures, if the Bible says I'm to learn about the grace of God, and the Bible says this knowledge is required to function in His plan, if I don't do this, then I'm going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ when my lack of understanding is demonstrated by my poor performance. All of this starts with me and you understanding God and what He expects from us. So let me give you one simple verse. If I haven't offended you yet, if I haven't made you mad, let me give you one verse. Jeremiah 9:23. I am looking for those who know me and understand me. How can you understand God if you don't know Him? And how can you understand God if you don't have some knowledge of God? Let me show you. Do you know God? You say, yes, I do. All right, tell me His essence. Tell me the essence of God. Well, come on, tell me. Do you know that He's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, veracity, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence? Do you know anything about the justice and the righteousness of God? Do you know that the justice of God is the guardian of the righteousness of God? And what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges? Do you understand that's why the Bible says there are none that are righteous? No, not even one. Do you understand the Bible says He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him? Do you know the reason God loves you is because you're in Christ? The reason you have eternal life is you're in Christ? What does that mean? It means you have his righteousness. It's not your manufactured righteousness that God's impressed with. It's the righteousness of Christ that was imputed to you. That's why you have eternal life. That's why you have a relationship with God. And that's why you have to grow and understand what this means to you. Whenever a nation such as America, or even Israel, rejects knowledge, it means they reject people who teach the Word of God. They don't want to know it. They don't want to hear it. They don't have time for it. You must understand God and what he expects from you. If you want to know God, you have to understand first that Jesus Christ is his Son, and that's the only way you can ever reach him. That's why Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." In John 10:7, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Why is this? I mean, what is it? Why is Jesus Christ the only way? Because he's the Son of God. Because he paid the penalty for our sin. Because he satisfied the righteousness of God. Because God accepted his sacrifice as a ransom for our sin. And all of these things are being attacked today, along with the infallibility of the scriptures. So, what do we have? We have a nation in turmoil. We have a nation in trouble. Every day it's some different attack on what is right and some different promotion on what is wrong. And it all boils down to you and me. We don't care. We're occupied with the gifts. We forgot the giver. Oh, we carry Bibles around. We have them at home. And some of you have them in your dash, your car, in your back window. That's not where it belongs. It belongs in your soul. That's where it belongs. If you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, you have a spiritual life. And that spiritual life means you have to learn how to function. You have to grow. You have to grow up. Jesus himself said in John 16:7, "I'm going to tell you the truth. It's expedient for me," or for you, excuse me, "that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I do depart, I will send him to you. He will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You have your own tutor. It's the Holy Spirit. But how can he help you if he's quenched? How can he help you if he's grieved? And this is what sin does. Sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. And you say, "But I don't sin. I don't get drunk. I don't go to bars. I don't gamble. I don't cheat on my taxes." But what about mental attitude sins? What about worry? What about fear? What about bitterness? What about anger? Aren't these mental attitude sins? What about sins of the tongue, like slander, gossip, maligning, criticizing, backbiting, lying? Oh, you don't sin the big ones, but you sin, don't you? Yes, you do. So when you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's quenched, how can he help you? So if you go to church and you sit there, and maybe you have a good pastor who actually can teach more than 10 or 15 minutes on Sunday morning, how are you going to learn anything when the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved in your life, and his whole objective is to lead and guide and teach you? He can't, because you don't understand the first premise of the Christian life. You're doing all the right things, but you're doing them in the wrong way. The first thing you've got to understand is to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to obey the mandate of Ephesians 5:18. You've got to understand when Paul says, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You've got to understand problem-solving device number one, rebound. You've got to understand that when you sin, If you will cite that sin or name that sin, then God said he will be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's problem-solving device number one. That's 1 John 1:9. That's how you're filled with the Spirit. That's how you keep walking in the Spirit. When you sin, when you fail, when you fall, you rebound, you confess the sin, you get up, and you keep pressing. You're going to sin. You're going to fail. You're in a sin-infected human body. You have a sin virus in you. And you will always have it until you go to heaven and get a resurrection body. So don't get the idea that you can live your life and not sin. That's impossible. You're going to sin. And God made provision. You can read John chapter 13 and see how Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, teaching this very thing. They needed their feet cleansed. They sinned like you do, like I do. The first thing you have to learn. If you don't learn this, nothing else works. Nothing you do will count. It'll all be ritual without reality. It'll all be a religious sideshow. It'll all be a religious game. Because you'll be doing all the right things, and you'll be uttering all those sweet-sounding words like praise the Lord and God willing. But you don't know what you're talking about. You have never come to grips with what it really means to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You've never really got under the authority of a qualified pastor that teaches you God's Word on a daily basis. You've never gotten up every day, opened your Bible, sat down, and learned as someone taught it to you. You've never gotten a notebook and took notes and gone back over those notes each day to see what you learned and to recall and to remember those things. No, when this verse says, my people are destroyed of a lack of knowledge, that's a picture of America today. No knowledge of God in the land. Oh, there's a lot of God, a lot of singing, a lot of churches, a lot of everything except knowledge, full knowledge. Not the knowledge called gnosis, but the knowledge called epignosis, the full knowledge, the application of what you've learned and applied into your life. Next week, I'll press on with this. I hope you'll come back and I hope you'll listen. Till then, this is Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.